Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Join us on a journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 235, Erasure. Read by Alan V. Hare. Opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere in some time, the history written by those in power could be threatened by a single individual. September 23rd. I just found out through a rumor on the deep web that a multimedia biotech giant specializing in synthetic biology is about to deploy a countermeasure. But what kind of countermeasure could change the minds of the billions of people who have aligned against the status quo? We are very concerned about you, Emilio. The Harmony officer said, without looking up, scribbling a note in a thick-looking file.
I don't understand why I'm here, Emilio protested.
You've been saying things that are making your team members uncomfortable.
Emilio shrugged. I can't help it if they're afraid of things they don't understand.
But we all have a responsibility, Emilio, to keep the workplace peaceful, so everyone can do their best. A happy workplace is an efficient one, and you've been upsetting the people around you by claiming there is missing time and some silly idea that people used to connect electronically using technology no one has heard of. Can you tell me why you are spreading those disturbing fantasies?
Emilio wanted to shrink so far back into his seat that he would disappear. He hadn't been interviewed by a Harmony officer before and knew it wasn't a good omen when someone was pulled off the sorting room floor mid-shift. The last time it had happened, the worker lost their slot in the company housing, then disappeared. No one quite knew why, but it was rumored the man had been the source of malicious gossip, and the company had zero tolerance for disruptive activity. I was simply asking people at break if they had experienced gaps in time or remembered things which didn't make sense to them, Emilio tried to explain. Like being able to contact people without using a phone booth. I was curious. There is no harm in that. The Harmony officer tapped a finger on the open file on his desk and stared at Emilio as if he could see his thoughts.
You claimed everyone had forgotten an entire year and asked them to look for evidence. That's a lot more than simple curiosity. Crazy ideas like that upset people, Emilio. It makes them suspicious and fills them with anxiety and mistrust. It distracts them from their work. We cannot allow you to do that. You must tell the people you've been talking to that it was just your idea of a joke, a bad one, and you don't really believe in missing time and odd memories. So, compensation is now owed to the company. You'll pay it off by training new sorters in addition to your current work, and there may be additional disciplinary action. Now, get back to work. I understand we're behind.
Emilio found it hard to concentrate as he walked back to his station on the sorting line. He could feel the eyes of the people around him surreptitiously watching, glad they hadn't been the one this time to be interviewed and probably morbidly curious about what would happen to him. At a minimum, he'd probably lose his sorting plant job, which he didn't really care about anyway. Standing at a station and pressing a button to grade vegetables as they whizzed by in a conveyor hadn't been his life's goal. For some reason, it was one of the few jobs which humans still did better than machines, as long as human labor remained cheap. And these days, the supply far outstripped demand. But he liked the sorting plant better than the deadly monotony of hard labor in the fields, picking, which was where he expected to be sent after this incident. Emilio tried to figure out who had turned him in. His first instinct was to blame someone who had a friend in the fields that wanted his job. He eyed the other sorters suspiciously and almost bumped into the new worker. She had to sidestep to avoid him, then waved to get his attention as he walked by.
Hello, Emilio. I'm Ivana.
Emilio slowed to look over his shoulder.
The supervisor told me you're my trainer, she explained. This is my first shift.
Trainer? Oh, right.
He grumbled, then reluctantly followed her to her station. Emilio didn't get back to the bunkhouse until almost 10 p.m. It had taken most of the afternoon to train Ivana, then he had to stay on to make his quota for the day. It had turned out she was from the same area of the country he had grown up in, and their towns were close together, but their circles had never crossed. Which was a bit odd, Emilio thought, given how small and intertwined their villages were. He heaved himself onto his bunk. The room, which held 8, was empty at the moment. He'd been lucky enough to be put on the opposite shift, so often he had the room to himself. Emilio checked to make sure he was alone, then reached into a rip at the top of his mattress and fished around with his fingers until he found a Ziploc bag. He carefully removed it, unsealed it, and extracted a thick hardcover diary. His sister had mailed it to him the week before, after discovering it at their family home. He had religiously kept the diary up to date until he had been drafted to work at the factory farm, but had neglected to bring it with him. Emilio hadn't even thought about it until the package came. At first he considered writing in it again, but changed his mind. Instead, he started reading his older entries, and that's when he discovered it. A year which didn't make any sense, all written in his distinctive handwriting. He couldn't recall any of the things he had talked about. Most of them referred to events and devices, which simply didn't exist. He paged to the entry which bothered him the most, and read it again, hoping it would trigger some memory or reveal some detail he had missed. He paged to the entry which bothered him the most, and read it again, hoping it would trigger some memory or reveal some detail he had missed, which would help him make sense of his journal entries. October 16th. I received a direct message telling me to be careful. We were getting too strong. It was being noticed and taken seriously as a threat. Not wanting to be tracked, I went to an internet cafe, which still accepted cash and rented time on one of their machines. I used a supposedly safe VPN and several onion routers to hide my activity, although I know these days this is frequently not enough. I felt we had to try. Maybe we could get the word out to move up the date. But the others believed even if our messages had been compromised, it was too late to stop. In 7 days, money and power will simply cease to exist. They are, after all, just social constructions we collectively agree on, not physical things. And there are enough of us around the world to just say no and end the madness, to start the new post-money era. October 17th. The page had been left blank, and the diary ended. Those were the last two entries and were dated 4 years ago. Emilia had been drafted to the factory farm the next day. Up until he received the diary, he thought he had been on the farm for 4 years, but the number of empty pages left in the diary didn't agree. It implied he had been there for 5. It was a 10-year journal, and all the entries he had filled in for the first 5 years were sequential. Yet, the first date was 9 years ago, and there was only space for 5 more years. It should have been 6. He heard someone outside in the hall, quickly stuffed the diary back into its Ziploc bag, and shoved it back into the mattress. Do you remember the year we had the drought back home? It was the same year I came here, he asked Ivana. She had wanted him to join her for lunch, claiming it was because she didn't know anyone else yet and didn't want to sit by herself. No, she said. It was always pretty dry, but I don't remember a drought. Things are tight there. That's why I'm here, so I can send money home. Up until Emilio had read his diary, that's what he would have said too, and that was how he remembered it. But the entries in the last year clearly described a major drought. There was no real way to confirm if it had ever happened without access to a library. The bunkhouse had stacks of old magazines, and Emilio checked through most of them. However, they were a random collection of whatever the owners and managers had read and felt generous enough to leave for the workers. So it didn't really mean anything. Most of the magazines were for vacations, food, clothes, and lifestyles none of the farm workers could ever hope to afford. None contained news. It was pretty widespread across most of the mid and southern latitudes, Food prices went crazy, he explained.
I don't really remember any of that, Ivana repeated.
Neither does anyone else around here. They all think the South has always been dry, Emilio admitted.
But I don't believe that's the case.
He had started getting flashes of memory since reading his diary, which were inconsistent with recent history. But he wasn't ready to tell anyone where his ideas were coming from.
The drought started the year everyone finally got... He cut himself off.
Everyone finally got what? Ivana asked.
Forget it. I must have just dreamed it. I should really go. Emilio cursed himself for blathering on. He didn't really know this person, and he had been warned.
What if she went and told a supervisor?
Losing his appetite, he got up to leave.
Please stay.
I didn't mean to put you off, Ivana apologized.
It's just that I honestly don't remember.
Emilio hesitated, then sat down again. He needed a friend. He needed to trust someone. He looked at Ivana and said,
I really don't understand what happened. I just have this feeling there was going to be a big change which for some reason never occurred.
He lost his nerve and backpedaled. Really, it's probably just related to some dreams I've been having recently.
March 17th. It's obvious that despite the constant distraction by mountains of irrelevant content, which is everywhere on the internet these days, the situation is just getting worse. We've been forced to move most of our activities to the deep net, so it's harder to disrupt. The entry didn't make any sense to Emilio. He gave up reading and put the diary back in its cubbyhole. He wasn't even sure why he felt compelled to hide it.
Did you ever go to Carnival? Ivana asked.
She and Emilio had been walking the perimeter of the processing plant, which was surrounded by a low fence. Workers were free to go where they wanted. But there was no place to go, just farm fields for kilometers in every direction. No one spoke the local language anyway, and none of the locals would help a conscript, so there was no point in leaving.
You mean Carnival San Salaroco?
Yes, my cousin helps organize it.
Only a few times. We were usually too busy to go, Emilio said. It was nice, though. Your cousin does a good job.
They walked in silence for a while.
Can you tell me more about your dreams? Ivana finally asked.
Emilio stopped and looked at her questioningly.
You know, the things you talked about the other day, remember?
There was going to be a big change, and there was something about a drought. You said it was a dream.
I find dreams interesting, she explained.
Emilio hesitated. I've already been reprimanded for spreading unsettling ideas. I shouldn't really say anything more.
It's not going to upset me, Ivana assured him. The work is so boring, it'll give me something to think about. I promise to say nothing. Plus, talking about it might help you sort things out.
Once Emilio thought of himself as a good judge of character, but he wasn't so sure anymore. Should he confide in this person? He wavered, then decided to take a chance.
Look, you can't tell anyone. If they find out, they'll isolate me, and I'll end up in a field by myself weeding or worse, and I couldn't deal with that.
He tentatively started.
It really happened. I think it was part of a more general change in the weather patterns that disrupted the crops right around the world.
Ivana gave him a skeptical look.
I'm not making this up. There was a whole chunk of time no one appears to remember.
There are other things, too, that seem to have been forgotten, like how we used to grow a lot of food in the South, and it wasn't dry like we seem to think, and technologies we no longer have. Do you remember a device you could hold in your hand that would connect you to anywhere in the world and find any fact you asked for?
No,
Ivana replied a little too quickly.
Those are very interesting ideas, Emilio. If they are not dreams, where are they coming from?
I'm not ready to say yet, but I have physical evidence. One evening, late in the second half of the growing season, after eating dinner, they found a large irrigation pipe in one of the tomato fields and used it as a seat. Emilio shaded his eyes from the setting sun with one hand and checked to make sure no one was around. When he was satisfied, There were no straggling pickers in the field trying to make their quotas. He pulled out the diary from under his shirt and handed it to Ivana.
"This is it. This is where the stuff I've been telling you about is coming from. Look at the entries for the last year. It's in my handwriting, and it's dated 4 years ago, but there's room for another 5. I've checked many, many times. The chronology in the diary appears to be correct, which implies we're collectively missing a year."
Ivana carefully opened the thick black book and flipped through the pages, stopping periodically to read until she found the last entry.
"And you don't remember writing any of this?"
"I remember doing the older stuff. It's really just the last few months of the diary. I can't recall writing." Ivana picked a page at random and began reading.
"August 5th. I was just messaged by a group in Argentina. There is no way their crop is going to make up for the failures in the northern mid-latitude drought zone, like the media claims. I find I'm not entirely comfortable with the role I'm in, passing along information and connecting people, so I set up a website to post on. I know that sounds dated, but it'll have to do until the group can set up its own social media. We are still active on the main platforms, but lately, it's getting harder and harder to communicate through them. Even when you know the content is there, it's almost impossible to find."
Ivana closed the diary and handed it back to Emilio.
"I don't know what to make of it," she finally admitted. "But the simplest explanation is it's fiction. I mean, I like it. You're a very creative writer. But it's something you probably wrote in a single sitting when you were drunk or something, and then forgot about. Think Occam's razor. That's a simpler answer than billions of people have forgotten a whole year and that we once had the technology you describe. Emilio, if you give me the diary, I can destroy it, so it won't haunt you anymore."
"No, I'm not ready to give it up. There has to be some proof somewhere," Emilio insisted stubbornly.
"Look, it's getting dark. I should go. Think about it, Emilio. It's the simplest answer. You should stop obsessing about a fictional past and move on with your life."
Ivana got up and left. Ivana had been avoiding him since he had let her read the diary, so he wasn't entirely surprised when he was pulled off the line again. A security guard accompanied him down a back hallway he didn't even know existed to an isolated room where the Harmony officer he had been previously interviewed by sat, along with a woman in an expensive-looking business suit. Her back was to him when he was pushed into the room.
"Sit down,"
she directed without turning around. Emilio sat on a bench, the only place available. The security guard who had brought him closed the door and remained outside in the hall.
"I believe you've already been talking to Officer Malik. He told you to stop spreading unfounded ideas, which are distracting other workers. I gave you another opportunity to stop, but no, you've chosen not to."
"Ivana?" Emilio exclaimed in surprise. Ivana spun around to face him.
"Leave us alone."
The Harmony officer immediately joined the guard outside. The door sealed shut with a hiss. "I should have known," he cursed. "It was all too impossible. Someone from home who was interested in listening? So was it all fake?"
"No. We needed you to feel safe enough to open up. It had to be a person who shared part of your past. I was recruited to do that before the event."
"What event?" Ivana looked over at the door to ensure it was closed.
"The event you talked about in this."
She pulled out Emilio's diary, still sealed in its plastic bag, and dropped it between them on the floor. Emilio felt his stomach clench.
"After you showed it to me, we did a thorough search of your bunk. We almost missed it, but knew it had to be there."
"But you know I don't remember writing any of that," Emilio protested.
"That may be so, but it," she pointed to the diary, "is slowly helping you to recall things you're not supposed to know about. You've admitted as much to me. It's acting like a trigger, and once you understand what happened, you'll become one as well, and spark others to recover their memories. Then it will spread like a pandemic, and everyone will remember. That's something we want to avoid at all costs, something we can't afford, Emilio. It took an immense investment to stop the change the first time, and we're not willing to have you mess that up.
I don't understand.
I'm no one. I'm just a farm laborer. I don't have the power to change even my own life.
You're wrong, Emilio. You are so much more than a simple conscripted farm worker.
4 years ago, during the missing year, and you're right, there is a missing year, there was a worldwide movement to dismantle the international economic system. People were simply going to refuse to participate anymore. Money would have become valueless and borders meaningless. The economic system would have collapsed, and there would have been chaos. It would have irreconcilably changed the power structure. Triggered by food shortages from the drought, most of the world's population was ready to act. However, we couldn't let that happen. First, we tried to insert ourselves into the conversation to convince people the idea of abandoning money was absurd. Then, we tried burying the idea in an ocean of irrelevance with stories and content intended to distract, divide, and isolate people so they wouldn't act collectively. The world needed to believe there was no alternative to the existing economic system, and no way to change it anyway. Unfortunately, by the time we understood the threat, we knew it was too late. The seeds had already been planted. It was the CEO of one of the largest biotech companies who came up with the idea to infect the world with xenobots. Some would enter the human mind and erase targeted memories. Others would change digital and electronic storage. Yet others would alter printed records. We infected the fuel supply with them, and they were released around the world in the exhaust of cars and trucks. It only took a few days to take effect. The xenobots were designed to persist in the environment for only a few weeks. After that, it was safe for us to come out, and it worked. However, we knew there would be pockets, little artifacts, which could not be erased by the xenobots. You were a key organizer, Emilio, and you mentioned to a friend online that you kept a handwritten diary in a plastic bag, something the xenobots couldn't get to. We're very patient, and when an artifact becomes a problem, we act. It's cheaper than reinfecting the entire population with another xenobot.
Ivana picked up the diary.
Thanks for confirming how dangerous these artifacts are. By the time you get back to the sorting room floor, it will be ashes.
Now, it's time to reinfect you.
At the end of the shift, Emilio found himself automatically following everyone to the company cafeteria. He couldn't remember anything he had done in the past couple of hours, but then, that was always the way. The work was so repetitive that one day blurred into another until they all became the same. Yet, something itched at the back of his mind. Something he knew he had to remember.
Show Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com, where you'll find Bridging the Gap. Join Steph and Karen as they talk to people from 7 to 97 and find out how we are the same and how we are different. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by Pod Power. With Pod Power, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Alberta Community Foundation is helping us give a Pod Power shout-out to What the Cheesemas, a new podcast with an inside look at Filipinx identity in the diaspora. Cheesemas is the Tagalog word for gossip. Subscribe to hear weekly episodes about disappointing your parents, breaking it to your friends that you're not Italian, and trying to figure out why you punched a car, and much, much more. What's the Cheesemas is produced by CJSR, Edmonton's campus and community radio station. Download it where you find podcasts and on whatsthecheesemas.transistor.fm. That's T-S-I-S-M-I-S.
This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by ATB Financial. At ATB, we make banking work for you. With expert and practical advice and everyday banking and investment planning expertise and management services with ATB Wealth, you can be confident that you're making smart choices when it comes to your money. We have a history of doing what's right for our clients, especially when times are tough, because ATB was built for Albertans. For more information, visit atb.com. Makeshift Stories is released around the beginning and the middle of the month. This month's story was written and read by Ellen V. Hare. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Both links are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe or follow wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.